us to commence with hymn 1036. Seek ye my face, the Saviour cries. My soul, where canst thou find supplies, but in the Lamb for sinners slain, who has not shed his blood in vain. 1036.
Read together for our instruction from the book of Psalms. We will commence with Psalm 34. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Psalm 126. Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. The Lord bless the reading of his own holy and precious word, and help us to pray. O thou, holy, holy, holy Lord God, thou who art in the heavens, we are upon earth, we are but poor worms at best, and yet as thou didst speak to thy worm Jacob, thou didst speak a word for his comfort and help. And therefore, O Lord, we would be encouraged if it is said to us, fear not, thou worm Jacob. And again, I will make thee new threshing instruments, and thou shalt thresh the mountains, and beat them small. And who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And the Lord, we have known those great mountains, and yet, Lord, may we not testify that the mountains have flowed down at thy presence, that thou hast been very gracious to us, better than all our fears, that thou hast done those mighty things wherein it was impossible for poor creatures to accomplish, even in a small measure. And yet, O Lord, there is nothing too hard for thee. And has it not been proved by thy people, the Church of Christ, from Abraham's day, when it seemed that there was that which was impossible, down to our day? And therefore we would worship thee, the same, the living God, and seek to come through Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. And Lord, we see the connection between each of those words, that what has taken place is connected with what is today, and that is connected with what is in the future. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his dear Son, And if not chosen in Christ, then how may we know what it is to be transformed in and through him, and then to be glorified with him? Yet all of these things, Lord, we know thou dost work according to thy divine purpose, and therefore all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We would thank thee, O Lord, that we have such a God who is over all, thrice blessed forevermore. And so we would bless thee, and we would desire to acknowledge that thou art worthy to be praised. And therefore, Lord, we would desire to find within our own hearts a spirit of thankfulness and a spirit of praise. For as the psalmist said, that thy praise was in his mouth, so, Lord, may we find that it is in our mouth. And did not Israel of old prove, when all the enemies rose up against them, and they knew not what to do, and Jehoshaphat expressed what was the very feeling throughout the camp, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are up unto thee. Yet when they were commanded to stand still and then to praise the Lord, they saw that their enemies rose up against each other, and they had no need to fight in that battle. Lord, we find there are many enemies within and without, but those of a natural nature or a carnal nature. But it is principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness. And oh, we find that we have an enemy that delights to seek to bring us down, and to question everything that we have believed in, and to undermine and shake the very foundation. And yet, O Lord, how thankful we are that or do what Satan might, he can never shake us out of the precious covenant, nor pluck us out of the Father's hand. In that, O Lord, we would acknowledge that thou art our Father, even though Abraham may be ignorant of us. And it is our mercy if thou hast brought us to humbly feel that we are put amongst the children, and though, Lord, not worthy of the least of thy favours, yet brought to that place, having to confess the backslidings of our heart, to confess, O Lord, our many sins, seeking that brokenness of heart and spirit desiring true repentance, godly sorrow. And yet, O Lord, is it not such that thou dost regard the poor and the destitute, who, though emptied of themselves, find that there is one who is ready to pardon? And so, Lord, we look to thee. We do pray for thy pardoning mercy. Blot out our transgressions. Remove them as far as the east is from the west. Deliver us, Lord, from presumptuous sins and from our secret sins. Do make them evident and manifest to us that we might confess before thee, but not evident before men. Oh, that thou wouldest hide the multitude of our wretchedness, but bring us, Lord, to humbly seek thee, at that time that thou mayest be found, when thou wilt be entreated, and may look upon us in thy great compassion. We would pray that thou wilt grant thy help as we are gathered this evening. May we worship thee in spirit and in truth. Grant, Lord, that the earthen vessel may be filled in pulpit, and that therefore empty vessels in the pew may also be filled. Oh, that there may be the pouring out and the pouring in. We do pray that thou would not leave us to our own folly, but may it be, Lord, a time of much profit. May we prove that this is a day which the Lord has made. The exercises that may have taken place in the hearts of the hearers, or some, Lord, may have come up, rushing into thy presence, so to speak, without so much as a prayer upon their lips. And, Lord, we know ourselves when the many things of life have taken possession of our mind. Oh, how prayerless we have come. And, oh Lord, it is no excuse. Indeed not. Oh, help us, Lord, to confess our prayerlessness. Yet, is it not proved at times that thou art greater than our hearts, and that thou art able to put us in frame, and that even now our hearts be poured out before thee, seeking that thou would not leave us to our wretched selves, but to come and to grant thee sweet unction of thy Spirit, so that access at thy throne of grace may be known, the exercise of faith therefore given, and the answers to the petitions which are sent up to thee as incense may be granted. Lord, we do pray that there would grant that the word may have free course, bringing honour and glory to thy worthy name. Bless the hymns. Lord, may they indeed come up acceptably as we seek to sing them. But also, Lord, that they may describe our very feelings, desires, that our hearts may go with the words we sing. We would desire, Lord, thy blessing upon this people. We see that thou will be very gracious to them. We desire that there may be those brought to know thee in that personal way. We pray, Lord, that those that may be desiring an answer to the prayer that they have sung in the opening hymn may receive an answer. We do desire for them that gracious increase, a first in grace and knowledge, and also thou mayest be pleased to increase them in numbers, particularly in the church here. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt even add and grant a continuing of that adding, that heavenly Josephs may be granted, spiritual Josephs may be granted. Lord, we also do desire thy rich blessing upon the ministry of thy servants as they may come from time to time. And may there be that flowing together. Do be what the deacons require, that they may work together in humility and love. And the Lord, we pray that they may seek to do that which falls upon their shoulders with a spirit, a Christ-like spirit. And the Lord, we would desire therefore that they may be helped. Maybe they sometimes feel to come short. Yea, often, if one knows anything of it. But, O Lord, we pray that they may prove that what is done is to thy honour and glory. We would desire, Lord, thy blessing upon the young, the rising race. And Lord, there are those that may gather on the Lord's day, but are not gathered here this night, because they are young and there are parents with their parental responsibilities. We will commend them to thee. And though not present with us yet, may there be amidst their duties at home a thought, a prayer, the going out unto us that are gathered. We would desire, Lord, that a parent that may be out may be able to take home to their dear one what they have heard, that it may be a blessing to them at home also. Lord, we do desire that there would therefore grant that what is received may also be considered and spoken of one to another, and that there may be the continuing over that uniting of thy Spirit amongst them. We do pray that thou would have mercy upon those in affliction, those laid aside, who remember the aged and infirm, the such that may be limited. We would thank thee where strength is given, to those in their great age still to continue in attending upon the means. And yet, O Lord, if prevented, may they prove the reality of those words, that there within no walls confined inhabitest the humble mind. And so, that they may receive even in their own homes some token from thee. Indeed, Lord, it is to receive from thy hand, wherever we may be, whether we are engaged in our day-to-day work, thou canst bless us there and in it. And oh, therefore, we know it is according to the manner as of those who gather to gather, but not just to seek our blessings alone here, but indeed desire that thou wilt bless us wherever we are. Thou didst say to Jacob, I will be with thee in all places, whithersoever thou goest. And thou canst make the workplace, the journey to and from, or wherever we may be, that Bethel, that place where thou dost make thyself known. Oh, may there therefore be a many Ebenezer's raised, because thou hast helped us and been with us. We do commend, O Lord, Zion at large. We mourn her low state. Oh, could it please thee to rend the heavens and come down. May there be the pouring out of thy Spirit once again. May we see, Lord, many souls quickened and made alive. We do pray that thou wilt appear in this dark and solemn day. And as a nation we have departed from thee, many desecrate thy holy day, blaspheme thy holy name, contradict thy holy word, and seek their own. Lord, we feel so utterly helpless, and at times not knowing what to do. But Lord, thou art able to again make this desert land, as it is spiritually, a water garden. So we commend her and ourselves, particularly, collectively at this time and personally, into thy gracious hand. And so hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. Forgive our many sins as we ask it in and through the worthy name of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen.
hymn 725. The sinner born of God, to God will pour his prayer, in sighs or groans or words expressed, or in a falling tear. 725.
Be pleased to help me. I would direct your attention to Psalm 126 and read in verse 3. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Psalm 126 and the third verse. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. The people of God have been in captivity. And when in captivity, it may be considered as they were in the days taken to Babylon, far from their home. And it is an experience sometimes that the Lord's people, left to themselves, can wander and come under that captivity of their own sinful heart and of Satan, and be far from the God they esteem and love. And what a mourning of spirit there may be then in the heart. But then sometimes we may be at home, so to speak, and yet under the oppressor. In the days of the judges, the children of Israel were often brought under those that oppressed them. And in the days of Gideon, there were the Midianites that rose up, and the people were not able to perform their tasks except in secret, and therefore hidden away, Gideon sought to thresh his corn. But there the Lord graciously appeared and sent him forth to deliver his people. And though there was the oppressor yet, as was realized by the Amalekites of the camp, that the cake of Gideon would roll or tumble into it and bring the Amalekites, the oppressors, to nothing. And what a victory was then gained. We may say not with carnal warfare, for what weapons was a pitcher and a lamp and a trumpet? And yet it was by these things that there was to be the alarm in the camp of the Amalekites, that they should then be scattered. And you know it is often with the earthen vessel that has the treasure, the light of truth, there within, and the sound of the truth going forth, that can conquer the darkness, the sin, the iniquity of your heart. What a mercy when the Lord does arise, therefore, and scatter these enemies. Now, David, he had an enemy that hunted and hounded him, a very real enemy in Saul. He who sought after David's life, because he knew that the Lord had anointed David for the kingdom. And David, when he thought that he would perish one day by the hand of Saul, took himself into the land of the Philistines. And there it was said that this is David, of whom it was said, Saul hath slain his thousands, David his ten thousands. And so they could not, would not contain David in their land. And David, he escaped. And it was in that he penned that psalm that we read, Psalm 34. And what a deliverance it was for David. Whilst under that captive state, so to speak, he felt a poor man. And he said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. We often have to be brought, you know, to spiritual poverty, that we might put forth a prayer, the prayer of faith. Have you often wondered what the prayer of faith is? It's not just mere words, you know. The prayer of faith ascends from a heart which is broken. David knew what that broken and contrite spirit was when brought to true penitence and godly sorrow over his sin. But oh, what a victory was wrought in David's heart when the Lord has then restored him. He took not his own Holy Spirit from him, but rather he raised him up that he might then again offer the offerings and sacrifices acceptable unto God. And when we are brought therefore to cry in the very bottom of our heart, oh, then may we not see how the Lord does work his delivering purposes. But we are brought into those places, but we're not left there, we're brought out of them. And David was delivered. And so we may consider one and another of those cases. Not only was he delivered out of the hand of Saul, but also out of his own son Absalom's hands. Oh, what a mercy it is that the Lord performs his work. But what did it bring from the heart when we see the Lord so wonderfully and graciously working? Well, or with David it was this: I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Some may be brought into much affliction. We have the case of Hezekiah. When the prophet came to him and said, thou shalt die and not live, where did it bring poor Hezekiah? O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Have you been there, dear friend? It may have been circumstances that have brought about such a state where you can see no hope, and therefore you must die. But you prove as Hezekiah, who, turning his face to the wall and pouring out his heart before God, was brought to know that deliverance. But it was in the exercise of his soul that he was to find life. By these things men live, and in all these things is the life of one spirit. And the Lord doesn't lay up these things upon us, you know, without a purpose. Everything that we may pass through, afflictions, troubles, trials, temptations, persecutions, oppositions, difficulties, times when we may perhaps feel alone, deserted, when we've come to nothing, yes, nothing in ourselves, and we have none that we can turn to. What is the help of man? When you have a never dying soul, and there you are under that solemn conviction, and if my soul was sent to hell, thy righteous Lord approves it well. Ah, how easy it is to say those words, but how you must tremble to say them. Rightly. But you see, the Lord, he may bring you into that, and bring you down to those depths that he may raise you up, so that he will put a song in your mouth. He did with Hezekiah. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. Now it was out of a sense of the Lord's deliverances that we find our text. The Lord hath done great things for us. If you are lifted out of those depths, if under a knowledge that the Lord should mark iniquity and that if he did, you could not stand, and yet believing first and proving second that there is forgiveness with him, that he may be feared, and you have been brought to a humble hope that the Lord pardons, not just pardons sins, but pardons your sin. You've come perhaps as the publican, and come like the hymn writer. The publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He went down to his house justified. Like the hymn writer, hear, gracious God, a sinner's cry, for I have nowhere else to fly. My hope, my only hope's in thee. O God, be merciful to me. But we may ask, that is the beginning of that hymn. But how does it end? And does it not end with a sacred consolation in the hymn writer's soul, so that he may know something of the certainty of these things? To thee I come, a sinner lost, nor have I aught wherein to trust, but where thou art, Lord, I would be. O God, be merciful to me. To glory bring me, Lord, at last, and there, when all my fears are past, with all the saints I'll then agree, God has been merciful to me. And then, if not before, we shall be able to say the Lord has done great things for us. Well, the Lord has done great things, if he has spared you from going down into the pit. He has done great things if he has brought you up from the dunghill and has set your feet upon a sure foundation. What is that sure foundation? Well, your only hope is Christ, the eternal rock, the one who has done all things, the things that you cannot do, but he has done them. What you deserve is death, but what has he done? He laid down his life. He laid it down for the vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need, and is therefore on that account welcome to the throne of grace, a Saviour's blood to plead. And what has he done? What were the words from Calvary itself? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, to therefore have this, the Lord hath done it. No, you have not been able to wash yourself. You may have tried many a time to cleanse your soul and to cleanse your way, but there's only one way that the good man can so cleanse his way, and that is by looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Therefore, when we are brought to look out of ourselves, pour not on thyself too long, lest it sink thee lower. Look to Jesus, kind and strong, mercy joined with power. A time when the Lord turns your captivity and speaks the word with power into your soul and brings you to know that there is salvation. Depth of mercy. Can there be mercy still reserved for me? A question raised up in the soul of the Lord's people. But the psalmist found mercy. David found mercy. Peter found mercy. Though he denied his Lord. But when the Lord looked upon him, solemn look, that look that charged him, as Joseph Hart takes up the thought, charged me with his death. But a second look he gave, which said, I freely all forgive. There, my friends, is the turning of your captivity. Then you are brought to say, the Lord has done great things for us. And the heathen may acknowledge it. And those that are in the congregation may acknowledge it. And those that look on may acknowledge it and say, the Lord has done great things for them. And if they see it, then it behoves us to respond in this way. The Lord has done great things for us. Oh, what has he brought you through, dear friends? Has he preserved you in life? Has he brought you to know his good hand? Has he spoken of his gracious presence? Could Jacob go on his way and not rejoice in the fact, though he trembled, as it was the very, the sacred place, and it's the very gate of heaven? The house of God? But nonetheless, the Lord had spoken, I will be with thee in all places, whithersoever thou goest, and will bring thee again. If it was not sufficient for Jacob to receive that first part, I will be with thee in all places, whithersoever thou goest, the Lord would add, and I will bring thee again. How gracious the Lord is. To give, as it were, ever more than what we may even require. He is bountiful. And we read that word in the psalm, with him is plenteous redemption. There's never any lack with him. Oh, how plenteous you may prove that redemption. And if you have, the Lord has done great things for you. And if he does, then the Lord would have done great things for you. And it is great things. We have a need to beware that we do not despise small things. For what call we small things, asked the hymn writer, sin's whole cancelled sum is greater than all things, except those to come. And if through the mercy of Christ he has shed his blood for you, then he has done great things. For is the day of small things? But the smallest thing that the Lord does is a great thing, you know. I remember once preaching, and amongst the congregation was one of the Lord's aged servants. And I spoke about not despising small blessings, and how that the little blessings are important. He did not disagree with me, but he felt the balance was wrong. He said, never decry or minimize great blessings. I knew what he meant. But you know what we need to beware of, that we do not minimize what we call small blessings because they are great. And when we consider these things, we need care not to compare ourselves or the blessing with another's. You see, when we look at the scripture, we see some of those great things that the Lord did. We think of the Apostle Paul, as Saul of Tarsus, breathing out threatenings on his way to Damascus, to gather the Christians together and to hale them to prison, the Lord struck him down. A light shone, a voice spoke. A blindness was to be known, literally, to be led into the city. Lord's servant to be sent to place his hands upon his eyes that he might receive his sight again and raised to an apostleship. What great things he did for the apostle, but not all were to know it in that way or by those means. There's a great thing that he did for Lydia. He opened her heart. And let us not despise that the Lord opens the heart. Well, he'll open it in varying ways. And yet it is a single opening. Because this is the work of grace. He'll open your heart and you'll see what is in it. He'll reveal the deceitfulness, the wretchedness of your heart. But he'll open your heart and he'll place those affections in it. A renewed heart, really, which gives you a longing for him. He will put that faith within that you believe where your hope lies. No longer in self, not in works of righteousness that you have done, but in the saving work and merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. And was that not so with Lydia? How she loved the place where prayer was wont to be made. That was a signification of where her heart was. Are you gathered here tonight, dear friend, because of desire to hear the word, to be found amongst the Lord's people, to know thee a blessing of the Lord which maketh rich. Ask him whether there is a portion for you. Well, it will be a great mercy if the Lord has brought you to that. And he has brought you to that if you find in coming to his house there are those things that you can testify that he has done. Great things. The Philippian jailer, though often it is considered, is to be such a dynamic conversion, that when you read it, you know, it's true there was the earthquake. That was the means of releasing the prisoners. But he jumped in, ready to take his life, because he feared what the consequences would be if those prisoners escaped. But when the apostle called to him, he then came trembling and asked, what must he do to be saved? And how simple was then the voice that testified to his heart. A sweet and sacred believing in him that had saved the apostle from the chains that he was in. The Lord had turned his captivity, and he would now turn the captivity of the jailer. But the Lord had done great things. But what great things were found not in the earthquake, not in the noise, the thunder, those things at Horeb, but it was in the still, small voice. A voice that said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Can we answer the question? But a voice then that would speak of the Lord's deliverance and how he would bring it about. But does not the Lord speak in a still small voice? The psalmist speaks in that 18th psalm of how the Lord deals gently. Thy gentleness hath made me great. And when we consider what the Lord's gentleness is, it may be, dear friends, solemn dealings with your soul. But when you compare with what you deserve, what gentleness. And how he has brought you about, brought you along. And he has perhaps caused his east wind to blow, but he has stayed it in the day of his rough wind. Is not laid upon you more than you are able to bear, but has made that way to escape. The Lord has done great things. The Lord has done great things when he brings you into that place where you have to say, oh, bless the Lord my soul. What a wealthy place that was that the psalmist came to in that 103rd psalm. If you have sung of that from your heart. O bless the Lord my soul, nor let his mercies lie forgotten in unthankfulness and without praises die. Then he's done great things for you. Have you sung it with your heart and now you will deny it? No. But the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Indeed, there were those in the days of his flesh when he went about doing good. They acknowledged the Lord has done all things well. On another occasion, the Lord has done great things today. Oh, there are those great things that are done. And where did it bring the psalmist? Where in that psalm that we read, when he acknowledged the goodness of the Lord, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. He cannot just do it alone. Here the Lord must be glorified. Here he must be honoured. Come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Have you seen good? The Lord hath done great things for us. And it is the church's testimony. The Lord has done great things for us. Down through the ages of time, however low she may have come, yet the Lord has done great things for us. Though she may perhaps have had many enemies, yet all the more reason why she could say, the Lord has done great things for us. But when under that a captive state to seek again and again for her deliverance, so that she may then say, the Lord has done great things for us. You may notice that in this psalm, the psalmist speaks of the Lord turning the captivity, and then says, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south. But out in the barren desert, how there is the waiting for the rains to descend, to turn the wilderness into the streams, to satiate the longing soul. Has the Lord turned your wilderness into streams of the south? Are flowing out to him, are flowing out unto the Lord's people, are feeling that here my best friends, my Saviour reign, here my best friends dwell, and here God my Saviour reigns. You know, dear friends, there is that union, the Spirit that flows. It flows from one to another. There's a uniting with the living head. For it is from him that we receive these things, but a uniting with the members of that body. Therefore, we find the blessedness of being in Christ. There is our only hope of salvation, to be in him. Has he planted you as one of his sacred plants, his own work, the right hand planting of his arm. And as we come in that way, we've spoken of the varying ways, or some of the ways that the Lord comes to his people, but I omitted to say this, and I will say it now. The beloved, he spake to the spells, and the spells was there in her winter sleepy condition. Awake, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, and there be the evidences that are to be seen, even in the passage of that, of those seasons, the seasons that do turn from one into another. We find that there is that following on of one season upon another. And as it is naturally, so it is spiritually. And so the words of the spells are this. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth. There is that little faith. Despise it not. Faith that lays hold. There is that godly fear, the beginning of wisdom. It's brought to realize that the only way of salvation is in Christ. That is the evidence of godly fear. That is that humble spirit being brought in the soul, where you come trembling, not boastful, not arrogant, not full of your self-confidence, a weak and helpless worm. On thy kind arms I fall. Be thou my strength. And help, confidence, everything that you need. But all must be of him. Nothing lacking that comes from him. So the flowers appear on the earth, the graces of the Spirit being wrought in you, and the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land, and the fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with their tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Well, what reviving there is in that word. How then your captivity is turned. How then you see what the Lord has done and is doing, accomplishing in you what you know you can never do yourself. Well, the Lord has done great things for us. And what great things may be known by the child of God as he goes forth with many tears. Many tears have already been poured out, poured forth, There has been that confession, there has been that repentance and godly sorrow. And as you go forth, you find there is that coming again. Although these words are often applied to ministers, they apply to the whole house of God, you know. They that are sowing tears shall reap in joy. There's much sowing in tears. But you need the Lord to graciously confirm his word and work. There's much sowing in tears when you have to cry out on account of your own wretched heart. There's much sowing in tears when you have to mourn his felt absence and desire his return. There's much sowing in tears when you tremble lest you should be deceived, and you need the Lord to graciously confirm his word and work. But if there is that sowing in tears, what is the reaping then? Shall we reap that which will not satisfy? Shall there not be the reaping of those blessings that the Lord is pleased to give? Shall we not reap according to his mercy? Not according to our works, according to his mercy. Shall we not reap then out of that a covenant purpose of our God? He who is so rich toward us that he will not leave us or forsake us, but come to us. And so he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And it is that to be gathered. As Ruth, she went forth with tears into the field which she lighted upon, and it was Boaz's field. The near kinsman. Was she put out by the reapers? She may have feared it. Was she not left anything? But there were those stalks, as it were, that were left, and they were not to be gathered again. It was left for the strangers and for the poor. But Ruth was to know more than that. Handfuls of purpose, or handfuls on purpose. They were the deliberate leaving according to the word of Boaz to his reapers, that they should let go handfuls of purpose, that there should be deliberate blessing. And the Lord, he does order his blessings unto his people that go forth with their tears, crying unto him. Shall not the Lord avenge his own elect that cry night and day? Indeed, he arises, he gives, he provides, he blesses. Is there no testimony? The Lord has done great things for us. Whereof we are glad. As some sheaves are brought and are beaten out. And how much? An ephah? Oh, what a quantity. An ephah. A whole measure. Nothing was lacking or mean in that. Enough to satisfy. But Boaz had already started a work, and Ruth was also there seeking that the work might be accomplished. And Naomi advising her daughter-in-law, exhorted her to go down to the threshing floor. Now, what happened there? Well, Ruth's captivity, being a stranger she was, feelingly so, yet made not to be a stranger, for she could reap among the reapers. But now she sought to be covered by the skirts of this near kinsman, who desired a covering of that which is of the near kinsman, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who was found in fashion as a man, yet came that we might, that he might be to us righteousness, sanctification and redemption. Ah, Ruth needed redemption. But what was the dear, what was the blessed token? Well, before the Boaz sent this maid on her way, he commanded her to hold her veil and there put in 6 measures. Not one, 6 measures. And did she not go on her way rejoicing? Well, so it will be, you know, with a living seeker. And though you may be tried and go forth sowing with tears, yet doubtless, ah, here's a word, doubtless, you'll come again with rejoicing and be able then to say, the Lord has done great things for me, and in this I must rejoice. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Warren is expected to preach next Lord's Day. There'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Fred Ince is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. Hymn 513. In mounts of danger and of straits, my soul for his salvation waits. Jehovah Jireh will appear and save me from my gloomy fear. 513.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us evermore. Amen.